Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. This story appears in the May 6, 2013 issue of Sports Illustrated, written by Jason Collins. Jason Collins says, I'm a 34-year-old NBA center. I'm black and I'm gay. I didn't set out to be the first openly gay athlete playing in a major American team sport, but since I am, I'm happy to start the conversation. I wish I wasn't the kid in the classroom raising his hand and saying, I'm different. If I had my way, someone else would have already done this. Nobody has, which is why I'm raising my hand. No one, he continues, wants to live in fear. I've always been scared of saying the wrong thing. I don't sleep well. I never have. But each time I tell another person, I feel stronger and sleep a little more soundly. It takes an enormous amount of energy to guard such a big secret. I've endured years of misery and gone to enormous lengths to live a lie. I was certain that my world would fall apart if anyone knew. And yet, when I acknowledged my sexuality, I felt whole for the first time. I still had the same sense of humor. I still had the same mannerisms. And my friends still had my back. This hour of the program, we talk about Jason Collins' announcement and also take a fascinating look at the history of gay athletes in professional sports. We have two guests with us, and we'll be welcoming your, I anticipate, many phone calls. Sid Ziegler is co-founder of Outsports.com, which is an online gay sports publication. He has written extensively about athletes coming out at all levels of sports and in all sports and going back to 1975, and the impact that homophobia has had on closeted athletes. Sid, thank you very much for being with us. Good morning to you.
Well, you pronounced my name right. That is no small feat, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah, it took a little research.
Try saying your next guest's name right.
I'm going to try. This one I've had to rehearse, actually. Asera Tuaolo. Am I right, Asera?
Oh, my gosh. You did a fantastic job.
Hey, yes. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Two for two. We'll see how the rest of the interview goes. Asera is a retired NFL player and author of Alone in the Trenches, My Life as a Gay Man in the NFL. He spent 9 seasons in the NFL and played with the Green Bay Packers from 1991 to 1992. Asera, thank you so much for being with us.
Aloha. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Aloha. You are from Hawaii?
I am from Hawaii, but I live in Minnesota. I've been here for 21 years.
Oh, my gosh. What a change that was, huh? Particularly this year.
You know, I had a little warm-up. I was in Green Bay, so that kind of just warmed me up for the Minnesota weather. So.
That's right. That's right. Always an advantage for the team when they had to play teams from Florida or someplace. Sid, let's start with you. You've written a very interesting history of gay athletes, and the stories, particularly the early stories, I was struck by how much tragedy, actually, was associated with many of these athletes. How many contracted AIDS, some died of AIDS. I mean, it was not for a long time, not that it's easy now, but for a long time, what a hellish life you had to live, huh?
Well, it wasn't just the life of gay athletes. It was the life of gay people.
Right.
Consider, in the 60s, it was illegal simply for gay men to congregate together in New York City. And that's where the rights were. And certainly in the 70s, and then in the 80s with the AIDS epidemic, I mean, it was a really tough time to be gay in this country.
And are we looking at a sport when it comes to football, Asera, where it was even harder than in some of the other professional sports to be a gay athlete because football has this really macho image?
Yeah. You know, I can't speak for the other three major sports. I only can speak on football because that's, you know, that was my sport. And when I played, it was definitely difficult. You know, and that, you know, of being in the closet, hearing things that was very much hurtful. But, you know, it's like I've been saying, we definitely are living in different times. I mean, it's been a decade since I've been out, and it's encouraging to see the progress that we've had in just the last 10 years. when I played, a player would lash out and call another player a fag or homo or queer, and things would just be kind of swept under the rug. Now, when someone lashes out, they're held accountable for their words and, you know, and for their actions. And for me, that's very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. In all sports, and for how long did this last, and in how many sports, Sid, were potential players asked what their sexuality was?
Well, we only know about the NFL this last year. A couple potential rookies came forward and said, yeah, somebody asked me if I like girls or if I date girls or different questions to try to get at their sexual orientation. But I know, talking to Wade Davis, who was a former openly gay former NFL player, he said he was asked that question back in, I think it was 2002. He was going to be in the draft. So, you know, it would be shocking to me if these questions were only in football. I have to believe if the NFL is asking them, then the NBA and Major League Baseball are too.
Mm-hmm. What would have happened to you, Sarah, if back in, say, 1991, you just called some Wisconsin newspaper and said, hey, I got a story for you. I'm a gay football player playing for the Packers.
You know, I to tell you the truth, I think the welcoming would not be as welcoming as Jason Collins is coming out. I mean, I can't really tell you because I'm not sure what would have happened because I didn't do that. All I can tell you is when I played, it was very difficult because anytime the topic of homosexuality would come up in the locker rooms or with friends around me, it was always a negative thing. And it, for me, every single time I heard those words or, you know, those comments that were said about who I truly was as a person, it hurt me deeply. So I can't tell you how everything would pan out. You know, I would hope if I would have came out back then, it would have been welcoming. But from what I saw and what I lived through, it was not welcoming at all.
Yeah, how hard it must have been to hear all those comments being made and know that was, you know, who you were. I mean, you're a complete human being, but that was your sexuality, and to just not to have to hold all of that in would give a person sick, wouldn't it?
You know, the thing about it, it's so funny. I mean, being gay definitely does not define who we are as a person or as a society. It's just the only difference is that who we decide to give our hearts to and
right.
who we decide to love. But yeah, it was, you know, it was very difficult. The thing that was very difficult for me is that I was living with this crippling secret, which a lot of the GLBT nation live with all their lives. And it was one of those things where in football, especially playing in such a homophobic arena and hearing all those negative things about who I truly was, people need to realize I was living with depression. I was living with fear. I was living with suicidal tendencies. Mm. I was living with stress. And it was when you add all of those components to your everyday life, it's definitely not something that anyone would want to go through. And so now what we're trying to do is just create a safer environment. And when we say a safer environment, it's somewhere where an athlete, no matter who he is, can just play to his potential and feel comfortable and welcoming and and safe. And basically, you know, that's one of the things, you know, that's one of the reasons why I speak up. And that's one of the reasons I know Sid, you know, writes his amazing articles just to kind of educate people on what we go through, you know, as a community, as an athlete. Yeah.
And I know that you didn't have a whole lot of family support. We'll talk about that in a moment. Jason Collins, on the other hand, Sid, seems to have had an uncle he could go to who was a gay man and a family pretty supportive of him to a person. That, I would imagine, made a huge difference in the decision he made. Sid?
Aside to, or, you know, I was afraid to talk to a therapist, knowing that, you know, the confidentiality clause was there, because I was scared that someone would out me or you know, or just I would be afraid that just when I was in college to type in the word gay on a computer because I thought it would come back to me. And it was, you know, and everybody would know that I did that. So
yeah.
it was very difficult. But you know, my story is like every other, I believe every other, you know, GLBT person. I mean, we go through the same thing. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do. It's definitely a difficult life. I mean, we definitely do not feel complete. And one of the great things when I heard Jason Collins say, when he came out, he felt complete. He felt whole.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely right on the money, because when I came out, I felt complete and I felt whole, because all my life living with this crippling secret and living, you know, this double life that I was living, I definitely did not feel complete. And when I said those words for the first time that I'm a gay man, it felt amazing, absolutely amazing.
I imagine. And what about the family support that Collins had, Sid?
Right. Well, I think this is America today.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people, we can argue about whether gays should be in the Boy Scouts or gay couples should be able to get married. But what people don't argue about is that people should be able to live their lives, that family members should support their gay children, that gay people should be able to play the sport they love and do their job. And that's what we're talking about with Jason Collins, those very simple, basic parts of being human. And all the other politics and all the other stuff is simply just not part of the discussion in this story. So it would be surprising if his family did not support him, and it would be surprising to me if the vast majority of athletes didn't support him, because we're just talking about being human and living your life. That's it.
So how did it change?
Like over the, I think people coming out. I think that's the biggest thing. When gay men and lesbians were living in the closet in the 50s and 60s and 70s, people just didn't know gay people. And when I talk to NFL players, straight NFL players, they often reference a gay friend or a gay cousin. Amon Green, who played with the Green Bay Packers, he has a gay brother and a gay sister, and I talked extensively with him about how that changed his perspective on these issues. Because when you know someone, it's just a lot harder to hate them or hate who they are when you actually know someone, you have them in your life. So people came out. That's what happened, and people saw that we don't have six arms and horns growing out of our heads.
Mm-hmm. And has it been more difficult for athletes in certain professional sports than in others, Sid?
Is it harder in certain sports? I think it's so individual. I think it depends on the team. I think it depends on your teammates, your coaches, your captains. People would say that it's harder in football. People would actually say it's harder in basketball than most other sports. And here we are. I mean, I went through and found 180 different reactions from professional athletes to Jason Collins yesterday. 176 of them were positive. So people would have pointed to the NBA and said, oh, that's going to be the hardest one. And it wasn't.
Yeah. And yet we still have instances. We had this basketball coach at Rutgers who was fired in part for degrading players with homophobic slurs.
Well, he was fired because he threw basketballs at players' heads and he hit players. That's why he was fired. If he had just called them slurs, he would have been suspended. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. As you played professional football, Sarah, did you find anybody in whom you could confide? Obviously, there, you know, a certain percentage of the population is gay, so there must have been other gay football players.
Absolutely not.
Really?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think I did a fantastic job hiding who I truly was.
Mm.
But back in 1998, I met this, I call him my baby's daddy, Mitchell, who I started an amazing relationship with, and we dated for 11 years, and he was basically the one I could confide into and talk to all about all of this. So,
Let's go to phone calls, starting with John in Green Bay. Our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Hi, John in Green Bay.
Hi. Thank you, Kathleen, for taking the call. I don't know what this has to do with today's topic, but it does have to do with the character that Sarah is when he was here in Green Bay. My mother has been dead for 20-some years, my aunt for 10. I miss them very much. But one day they were out for lunch, and Sarah was at the same restaurant, and they both came home and said, "Guess who bought us lunch today?"
Oh.
So I want to thank him, and I'm glad he's a happier person, and good luck. Thank you for taking the call.
Oh, thank you for calling, Sarah. What a great call.
Yeah, an amazing call. And, thank you very much for calling in. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
An act of kindness remembered and meant so much all these years later. These are good moments. Boyd is next in Toma. Hi, Boyd.
Hi, Kathleen, and hello to your guests. A few things that I want to address that, I sort of have some concerns about. I commend the basketball player for coming out, and I think it's very gratifying that there are some major players like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant that are, supporting him and what he's doing. The thing is, though, and this was sort of addressed earlier, how are sports fans, though, overall, with, I think, more athletes coming out, how are they going to respond, and not just sports fans, but still a lot of the community? I was a little alarmed to hear when watching the news up here, Leroy Butler was asked to speak at a church, and then he came out in support for the basketball player, and the church then did not want him to speak, and then they said, "We'll allow you to speak if you take that tweet off regarding the basketball player." And I'm glad we've taken our first step, but I just have the feeling in the world of sports, we got a long way to go, and it could be a very long and painful road.
And the irony is that his speech was supposed to be on bullying.
Right.
Sid, you want to respond?
Well, first of all, this isn't the first step. The first step was taken by a former NFL player named Dave Coppé back in 1975 when he came out publicly. This is step number 172, and it's an important one. Like, it's a very important step, but athletes have been talking about this for a while now, and sports fans have been talking about this. And again, I just keep going back to America is changing on this issue because people want gay people to be treated equally. And again, we could talk about marriage and all these other things, but again, that's not what we're talking about. People want gay people to just be able to do their jobs. And people get it. And the church that asked Leroy Butler to not come because he supported a gay person, that's a whisper and a chorus of acceptance. And that kind of position is just going to marginalize the church, not Leroy Butler or Jason Collins.
Mm-hmm.
We are definitely living in different times. And when I go around the country and I speak on homophobia in sports, and I always tell my audience that we're not living in the times of the cleavers anymore. And when I say that, it's not black and white. I mean, look around you. There's so many beautiful people around you. And when I read that article on Leroy Butler, and my heart just went out to him because I played with Leroy in Green Bay, and he is absolutely an amazing, amazing person. And for the church to close their doors on him and is something that really not, it's one of, this is the thing about, and there's a parallel going here. Obviously religion has a huge part on all of this. And but what they also need to know is that we that people are starting to realize that you know, people are starting to realize that what they're doing is wrong. You know, I believe there's only so much that a person can hear or see about hate that then their heart kind of kicks in. I mean, it happened in the civil rights movement. Also,
yes.
Happened in the women's movement. It's one of those things where there's so much that you can discriminate against another human being, where people will start judging with their hearts. And what they're seeing nowadays from the church is something is definitely not what God's love is all about. So the more that they lash out and the more that they do things like this, it's definitely not making them look good at all, because it's really not what God's love is all about for all his children. I mean, you may not like the color of my skin, you may not like the color of my hair or who I decide to give my heart to, but the fact of the matter is, and if you're a Christian, I am a child of God, period. And when I stand before my Father on Judgment Day, and when he tells me what I have done, it's on me, not on anyone else. No one has the right to judge me. And it's so for me to hear these things and see these things in the news from religious people, and it's one of those things where it's, you know, in one way it's a good thing, because then people are really seeing their true colors. And another thing, it's also saddening.
Yeah. And Butler's story, just to get your comment on the follow-up here, he said that he pointed out to the church's pastor that their attempt to force him to back down was just an example of the kind of treatment he had planned to talk about. This is a form of bullying, what you're doing, Butler said. You're trying to get me to do something I don't want to do. The pastor disagreed, and Butler said, we agree to disagree. And the pastor said, no, I'm right, and you're wrong.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, there is the thing about it, there is a bigger picture here. And it's one of those things where yes, we are talking about this issue. It's a very important issue. But we have children across this country that are taking their lives. 2 weeks ago, a kid in Iowa took his life because he was bullied because he was gay. Now, that is a hot topic of the issue that should be on the forefront and we should be talking about. The great thing about what Jason Collins coming out and living in this truth is that he had given us another our youth another role model to look up to, and what he did, and to get all the support from like Kobe Bryant and from LeBron James, it sends out a message to a lot of these kids that are struggling. I mean, and so it's a wonderful thing that he came out, and I tell you, I really commend him for his courage. And for being the first, you know, openly gay athlete that is still active, and you know, I love everything that is going on right now.
Mm-hmm. More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email, talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page, if you would like to leave messages there, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Our guests are Sarah Tuaolo, who's a retired NFL player, author of Alone in the Trenches, My Life as a Gay Man in the NFL, spent 9 seasons in the NFL and played with the Packers from 91 to 92. Sid Ziegler is also with us, co-founder of Outsports.com, an online gay sports publication. He's written extensively about athletes coming out in all sports and is author of 100 Most Important Moments in LGBT Sports History. We'll have to hear the story of David Coppe, 1975, before Jason Collins was born. David Coppe, a fellow former prep star from the San Fernando Valley, blazed the trail for Collins by becoming the first professional athlete, active or retired, to come out, and we will hear his story and more as we continue, and more phone calls. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Before we go back to phone calls, and we have many of them, Sid, tell us the story in 1975, long before Jason Collins was born, the story of David Coppe.
Well, it's interesting. I actually had dinner with Dave last night.
Oh, you did? Oh, my goodness.
I did. Yeah. Dave was an NFL running back for 9 seasons. He was with the Packers his final season in 1972. Played with Coach Lombardi when he was with the Washington Redskins for a season. And Dave, you know, in 1975 decided that he he just didn't want to live a lie anymore. And in 1975, he came out in a series of articles about gay athletes. I think it was the Washington Post. I can't remember what the newspaper was. Anyhow, he was the first, and he expected at the time to be followed by a wave of gay athletes coming out because he knew several of them. And it was silence. And it wasn't until, a decade or two decades later that he was followed by another NFL player, another decade, and Sarah came out of the closet. But it wasn't until Jason Collins that an active athlete finally came out, 38 years after Dave Coppay came out.
Goodness. And David Marinus's book about Lombardi has been, some of the excerpts have been making the rounds since the Jason Collins story. Lombardi worked with at least five gay men, his book says, three players and two front office executives, including David Slatterly, who had come out in 1993. In When Pride Still Mattered, Marinus describes the scene of Lombardi charging an assistant to work with one of the gay players, a struggling back named Ray McDonald. And if I hear one of you people make reference to his manhood, Lombardi is quoted as saying, you'll be out of here before your blank, you know what he's saying, hits the ground. Isn't it interesting that a man so admired as that didn't make more headway in this area? Lombardi was way ahead of his time on this issue.
Yeah, definitely way ahead of his time. And you know, I just got to say, David Coppay is definitely my hero. And and I'm not just saying that. He his book and his story saved my life. And it was one of those things that I owe a lot to that man, and he is absolutely an amazing, amazing person. And like I said, he's definitely my hero, and his story definitely saved my life. And you know, I gotta also give some respect to Sid, because as we all know, knowledge is power, and a lot of times it's the fear of the unknown that where people start judging, because they actually don't know what they're talking about. But it takes a person like Sid Ziegler to write these amazing stories that he's been writing for the last decade, to bring the education and to bring awareness to this. And you know, he's done a fantastic job, and that's what it is. For the last decade, you know, with President Obama, this has been a hot topic on the table for everyone to talk about. And it's definitely giving education to everyone. And I just gotta say that before, you know, before we get off the air, that, you know, I really give a lot of respect to my boy Sid. He's absolutely an amazing person, and he's definitely been writing some amazing stories for people to read and to understand and to learn, and definitely been educating people.
So. Yeah, very important work you do, you know, Sid. And I'm wondering if David Coppay knows that he saved your life. That's quite a statement.
Yeah, David's a good, he's a good friend of mine. He definitely knows that. And like Sid, Sid said, he was one of the first back in the 70s when he came out. Talk about how difficult it must have been back then, and the struggles that he went through.
Well, when I talked to Dave on the phone a couple of days ago, he broke down in tears because Jason Collins had just called him, and it was an emotional. It was just a completion of the circle for him. He's in his 70s now, and it was finally somebody finally stood up. So it was a powerful moment for him.
Mm-hmm. And what do you both think? Will many more stand up now in the world of professional sports, Sid?
Yeah. It's funny. I think they will. If you read Jason Collins' piece, he talks specifically about himself waiting for somebody else to be the first.
Yes.
Jason didn't really mind being the second, but he didn't want to be the first. And I think that when you people have – we have the first person to come out, and they've seen the reaction. And I don't know why some people are surprised that it's so overwhelmingly positive. Unfortunately, the media is kind of – been telling us for years it would be overwhelmingly negative or it would be impossible to come out in sports, but it's overwhelmingly positive. And if he ends up getting picked up by a team, you know, he's a marginal player who would be the 12th man on the NBA team. If he gets picked up by a team, the statement that will send will be huge. If he gets picked up by a team, I think I would be shocked if a year from now Jason Collins is still the only one.
Well, and the backstory on this is pretty profound, too, that his roommate was Joe Kennedy at Stanford, now a Massachusetts congressman, told Jason that he had just marched in Boston's Gay Pride parade, and, you know, Jason's thinking, why am I not in that parade? You know, I'm jealous of you, Joe Kennedy, because you're in the parade and I'm not. And then he writes that the Boston Marathon bombing reinforced the notion that he should not wait for the circumstances of his coming out to be perfect. Things can change in an instant. Isn't that the truth?
Well, to me, I just think that for most professional athletes who have been in the league for a number of years, who have saved money, they're financially stable, unless you're dealing with, I don't know, specific circumstances associated with your team, I just think there's little to no reason to not come out publicly.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, we have heard that there are, I read this somewhere, that there are four NFL players who are about to make an announcement together at some point. Are you on top of this story?
Yeah, and I have no idea who they are.
Okay.
That's not true. That rumor is
not true.
The person who put forward the rumor does not know four people, so it's simply not true.
All right. Thank you. It's good to know what the truth is.
With Jason Collins coming up and coming out and the response that he's been getting, the positive response he's been getting and the support, I'm hoping that it would, will open the doors for closet athletes to come out.
Mm-hmm. So, I would imagine it would. Don't you think, Sid? I would think there'll be a lot more.
Well, again, it's a personal decision. And I've always said it doesn't matter if sports is ready for somebody to come out. It only matters when one person is ready. And that first person was Jason Collins among the active athletes. And, here's another thing. Robbie Rogers is openly gay now, and he is potentially going to try to get back into Major League Soccer. So we may have the second one, with the LA Galaxy potentially this summer. Somebody who came out before he got back into Major League, into his sport. And then got into a sport. I wrote the story a couple weeks ago about Alan Gendro, a gay kicker who wants to get into the NFL. So there are lots of ways the second and third and fourth and fifth person may come. And by the time it's 10th or 12th,
right,
we won't even be talking about it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Rich and Rhinelander, our next caller. Hi, Rich.
Hi. One of your guests said earlier that we're not in the era of the Cleavers, and even though my call isn't about that, I am so happy for June Cleaver. I think anyone who had to do the dishes wearing pearls and a skirt with crinolines under it in order to look like the All-American girl somehow or another needed to be mothballed eventually. My call is about, I think I've heard after Collins coming out that people have said, I heard it on a morning program on Friday on Wisconsin Public Radio, a conservative representative saying, no one cares that he's black, no one cares that he's gay. And I always find a bit of hypocrisy in that, because if you live in the society and you think people don't care that you're black, then you have to listen to Louis C.K. or someone like that talk about in his comedy act about why that still is a burden in our society. The other thing is they say we just don't want to hear about it. Those are like the two hinges of the closet to me. That is, it's so unimportant and it's so unimportant that please never let it be mentioned among us. And I'm grateful for this program and for Sports Illustrated, which has had some of the best coverage over the last several years on gay and lesbian issues. And I'm wondering if your guest could comment on what I think are the double hinges of the closet, which is we don't care. We don't care. Please never talk about it.
Mm. Well, that's interesting. Sid, want to start?
Well, one of the interesting things is Sports Illustrated actually has not been very good on this issue. They have not covered it. And this kind of landed in their lap because they knew somebody who knew somebody. I remember when they did a piece about Gareth Thomas, who was the first openly gay professional rugger while he was active overseas, and they did a huge feature piece, and they were trying to decide whether to put him on the cover or not. And it would be the first openly gay male athlete on the cover, or active male athlete. I can't remember what there was some distinction to it. And it was a January issue, and instead of putting an active, the breaking this ground, they decided to put the Yankees on the cover, 2-3 months before the season even started. So Sports Illustrated has just, they've lagged behind other places like ESPN and, frankly, OutSports on this issue. But, yeah, we hear this. Oh, we shouldn't be talking about it, right? We shouldn't be talking about it. This shouldn't be a story, but it is. We don't live in a world of should and shouldn'ts. We live in a world of reality, and reality is Jason Collins is the first openly gay active male pro athlete in one of the big sports, and that's a story. Whether you like it or not, we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. But once we reach, I don't know, a level of 20 or 30 or 40, then it's not a story?
Well, yeah, like Brittany Griner came out. Brittany Griner was the number one draft pick at the WNBA this year. And she came out publicly a couple weeks ago, and it was like people ignored it, in large part because she was preceded by Cheryl Swoops and Simone Augustus and a dozen other WNBA players and another several dozen female pro athletes. So it was just, for women to come out now, it's just kind of a yawner. When Martina did and when Swoops did, it was a big deal, but now it's just a yawner. And in 5-10 years, you know, so and so came out in the NFL, it'll be page B12 buried somewhere.
So what's the difference?
And, you know, until we start seeing like hate for who we truly are, the LGBT nation, that's when we'll stop talking about it. Until we stop seeing these kids getting, committing suicide because they're bullied because they're gay.
Yes, right.
You know, that's when
we'll
stop talking about it. You know, but every single time, the worst thing that you could ever do right now is not in the NFL, is not beat your wife, or is not to take sell drugs or take drugs. It's the worst thing is to out someone or start a rumor that he's gay, or using the word faggot or queer or homo. When you coach or when you're trying to degrade another human being or another athlete. So until we stop hearing all of that negativity, until we stop hearing all of that hate for who we truly are as an individual or as a culture or as the LGBT nation, that's when we're going to stop, and that's when it's going to be done. But it's for me to hear so many hatred towards who we are, when we are just trying to live our lives, and it's absolutely appalling to me when you can have another individual, a Christian individual, tell me, a Sarah Tuolo, that I'm going to hell, that my children are going to hell, that we are an abomination. And it's one of those things where that's when we're going to stop talking about this. You know, when we start hearing, stop seeing hate crimes where, you know, people are getting beat up because of their sexuality or sexual orientation, or harassed because of their sexual orientation, or if your partner gets into an accident, goes into the hospital, and you can't even visit him because you don't have any rights to go visit him, that's when we'll stop talking.
Yeah, there's a long way to go, isn't there, Sarah? There's a long
definitely
way
a
to
long
go.
Way to go. So, you know, for those people that say, you know, why do we have to talk about it, or why is this such a big issue? Well, you know what? Look and read and educate yourself why it is a big issue. There's over a thousand things when a straight couple gets married that is automatically binding to them, that they have, that's their right. We don't have that. We don't have that. And yet we pay our taxes, and yet we abide by the law, and yet we do what is expected of us as Americans in this country, and yet we still get treated like a second-class citizen. So that's when I'm going to stop talking, and anyone else. So anyway, I'm sorry for it.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Let's welcome more phone calls. We'll take them momentarily. Rich, thanks for your call. A couple lines are open. We're talking about Jason Collins' announcement in Sports Illustrated becoming the first professional male athlete to come out as gay while still an active player, but our guests are talking about who preceded him and what the history is here, how important this is, and why it's been difficult for professional athletes to be open about their sexuality. Our guests are Sid Ziegler. He is co-founder of Outsports.com, which is an online gay sports publication, and he has written extensively about athletes coming out at all levels of sports and in all sports and the impact that homophobia has on closeted athletes. Asera Tuaolo is a retired NFL player and author of Alone in the Trenches, My Life as a Gay Man in the NFL. He played with the Green Bay Packers from 1991 to 1992 and spent really 9 seasons in the NFL. More phone calls in a moment. WPR.org is our web thing to get a hold of us that way. And you can also use our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to phone calls and messages, Sid, let's give this one to you. Dave in Menominee, Michigan. I would think if a NASCAR driver came out as gay, he wouldn't last long there.
Well, it's funny. ESPN.com had the story over the weekend of an openly gay NASCAR official.
Ah.
And Matthew Pattison, who came out over the weekend publicly, and he said he's been out in NASCAR for years and no issues. Because, again, people, no matter what you believe about marriage and other issues, they want gay people to be able to do their job.
Let's go to Karen in Green Bay. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I was out of state for a few days to go to the Derby in Kentucky, so I missed some of the news with Roy Butler. But when you said how the pastor, the minister said, I'm wrong, and you're wrong, it just, I'm driving home, and it just infuriated me. I had to call because the pastor originally thanked him for not saying the name of the church and not publicizing that. And as far as I'm concerned, we all are should know the name of that church. And, I mean, I'm not like I go pick it or anything, but I think people, even maybe the people attending that church may not know how horrible their minister is.
Well, this is not news that right. Some religious folks believe that they are right and everyone else is wrong, and it is only through them that they can find eternal life. And so it should not be any big shocker that a pastor believes that.
You were raised, you have written in an Assembly of God Pentecostal church, Asera, the preacher called homosexuals a curse.
Yeah, I definitely grew up in that hallelujah church. every single time the topic of homosexuality would come up, it was definitely negative. And I remember running home and dropping to my knees and asking God to take away this curse that I had. Hmm. And he made it sound like it was as simple as that. But you know what? The Assembly of God church is, their tactic is the fear factor. So it wasn't just about homosexuality. They were preaching on everything to try to scare people to come back to church. And, it was one of those things where, let me tell you this. What was amazing about the Pentecostal Assembly of God Church is that it's very much, and I'm so thankful that my mom dragged me to church when I was younger, is that it helped me to read the Bible and to understand the truth. What I got at an early age is that in the Bible it says, don't put your trust in the flesh because the flesh will fail you, but put your trust in God because he'll never fail you. And that's what I did. And what is the flesh? The flesh is the pastors, the church, people that preach negative. But put your trust in God. And what I found out the more I read the Bible was that the peace and the love and the forgiveness and the mercy that was in there for not just the GLBT community, but for everyone. Because in the Bible, it also says we all fall short of the glory of God, meaning that we're all sinners. But what people need to realize is that there's a new covenant, the New Testament that came out, which God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for all of us. Now, I could go on and on all day about this. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things where I think I mentioned earlier, is that, you know, in the Bible it says, don't judge, lest ye be judged. But then further down in that passage, it also says, the measure you judge will be judged unto you. So that's my challenge to all those people that are hating on not just the LGBT community, but everything else, is that you need to watch your tongue and watch your what you say, because I have to believe on Judgment Day when you stand before your Father, and He asks you what you have done. I pray that he has mercy on you for judging us. So anyway.
Hmm. And it might be a she, too, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's not
good
that far.
Sid, I wanted to hear a little bit more about Outsports.com, the purpose of it, how long you've been writing stories, the stories that you've broken, the importance of this site.
Well, we started back in 1999 when no one was talking about these issues, and I remember in 2002 or early 2003, actually, wanting to find out what NFL teams offered their employees same-sex domestic partner benefits. So I called all 32 NFL teams, and the reaction was I got yelled at.
Oh.
Some people hung up on me.
Oh.
And there was one team, the San Francisco 49ers, who at the time, by mandate of the city, had same-sex domestic partner benefits. But no one would even talk about it. People in the media didn't want to talk about it. Obviously, team executives didn't. Athletes certainly didn't. And when they did, it was negative. So we started it in a time when it was badly needed because there was just no one talking about these issues and people refusing to address it. And when they did, it was negative. So we started writing, and people flocked to us. They asked to start writing about other topics, and now today it's, you know, I dare say it's the most respected LGBT sports publication in the world. I would say, you know, when stuff like this happens, the media comes to us to figure out how to cover it and what to say. So I'm pretty proud of it. I think that, you know, lots of people have been a part of making this change in the world, and I dare say Sarah and I were a couple of them.
Yeah. Are you an athlete as well, Sid?
I was in high school. I was a runner in high school, and then I played club sport in college.
Mm.
And he's an amazing receiver in flag football.
Sarah and I played.
His team's won the championship many years.
Really?
We played in the gay games together on the flag football team in Chicago in 2006, and we won the gold medal together.
Well, congratulations.
Fantastic. No, Sid's being modest, but he's definitely a great athlete.
Okay. Thanks, Karen, very much for your call. Let's go to Megan in Little Chute. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hi.
Kind of going back to the comment earlier about how, you know, in situations like that, the church will say, well, we just don't want to hear about it, you know, don't talk about it. And you know, that infuriates me because, well, for one, this is somebody's life. It's like, you know, saying, you know, for a straight couple, you know, I can't talk about my husband. I can't talk about how I feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the church, what I think is extremely hypocritical is I live in the Fox Valley area, and you can't drive down the highway without seeing billboards that say, you better find Jesus because God's coming soon, and you're going to go to hell if you don't. Mm-hmm. I have people coming to my doorstep and, you know, have you found Jesus? Here's some information. So we have the church shoved down our throat, yet they're saying it's not okay for these people to be honest and open about their lifestyle and who they love, which I think is really infuriating.
Thanks, Megan, for the call. Sarah, would you like to respond?
I've been seeing that sign since I was 5 years old.
Mm.
You know, the coming is soon, especially in the Pentecostal church. So please repent and all of that. You know, in the Bible it says he will come in like a thief in the night. And but it's for me, and she's definitely right. You know, no one's talking about all of that stuff where, you know, they're, you know, let me tell you a story. When I played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, that was probably the most religious team I've ever played on. And, so when I say they're very militant about it or very aggressive with their preaching and isolated you because if you didn't go to their Bible studies, it was like you weren't part of a big group.
And we have about 30 seconds.
Big part of the big group. So I went to, Daryl Flowers is a friend of mine that I went to college with, and I went to go see him speak. And I went to one of these Bible, Bible studies, and he was speaking. But what got me was this, at the end of hearing all this negative thing about other people and not themselves, I asked the question because I had a brother that was gay, and I said, you know what, so you're telling me, so this is a scenario, if I said, you're telling me my brother who's gay, if he asked for forgiveness and that he wouldn't get it, but someone like Hitler, and I, exactly what I said, asked for forgiveness that he would be forgiven.
Oh, and on that note, we will, with that provocative question, we will say thank you both very, very much. It was a really interesting hour. Sarah Tuaolo, retired NFL player, his book is My Life Alone in the Trenches, My Life as a Gay Man in the NFL. Sid Ziegler is co-founder of Outsports.com. Thanks, Katie Mattson and Rhonda Fanning.